Hi everyone. You've heard me share on EVS before, so you pretty much know my stance on it. I loved EVS. I really liked the getting together as a group at Paul's, and I miss that, and I think we're going to be looking at doing something from there, whether we redo EVS, which is an option, or whether we do something else. But I still have trouble with sentness. I really don't like that word. However, I can get over that bit, because something I really learnt from EVS, and it's something I've known before, I've done before, it was probably a refresher, was relationship building, communication, open questions, actually listening to people and finding out where they're at with the Lord before we start jumping in there and we start saying to them, oh, look, I'm a Christian, this is what I believe, I think you should believe what I believe. Find out where they're at first. And to be honest with you, EVS has carried forward with our group. A lot of our group has actually moved into doing hands and feet. And personally, I've found that the skills that were refreshed and the skills that I learnt even from EVS, I'm really using in hands and feet. I'm greeting people, I'm getting to know people, I'm forming connections with people. And from there, I can introduce them to the Lord rather than just saying, you're in a church, this is what we believe. We're actually really forming relationships with people. And the other thing is as a group working through EVS, I think we work really well as a team for Hands and Feet as well, using some of those skills that we've learnt through EVS. So for me, I really liked the course, and in fact, we're looking at doing a huddle with just some of our neighbours doing EVS. And I've spoken to Graham about one particular person, but it looks like we might be drawing another person into that. So what I want to really encourage people to do is not just stop at doing EVS, to actually expand it and either redo it if there's some of it that you've missed or would like to redo, form different groups and do it with a different group and see if you get a different outcome from it. See if you get any, like, some people didn't like it. That's fine. If you don't like it, you don't like it. But if you like it, do something with it and go a bit further with it. I mean, I believe there's an add-on course to this as well that you might be able to do. I might be wrong, but I've heard a bit about the... I've heard a little bit about, and I don't know a great deal about it, so I won't say anything. But for me, I really loved EVS. And if you can get friends and family involved in it who might be Christians so that they can benefit from it, why not do a huddle yourself and actually take it outside our church and work with it outside our church as well? But personally, I'm really finding it very helpful in Hands and Feet, and this is a good opportunity for me to say thank you to everyone for your help with Hands and Feet as well. We had a great success on the Monday before Christmas, and we're forming some fantastic relationships. We have some people coming to church every now and then, but more importantly is that we've been able to follow them through and speak to them even over the break and just form some friendships and relationships there. So I'm finding it really encouraging, and I hope you guys do too. Thanks.
12 months with EVS. I've just completed 2 years. So I just wanted to take this up. I know, we didn't get a certificate or anything, did we? But I just wanted to take this moment to share a little bit of my perspective on that journey so far, and just to maybe share some things that I've been learning over this past little while. So as I mentioned, I've completed 2 years of this EVS training. The first year was doing the Life for Life, which many of you guys have been through last year. So I did that with a group the year before. And I've been really changed by this notion of intentionality and also this notion of sentness that Marianne mentioned. So intentionality for me is about deliberately praying for 3 contacts that I've got. And so that's been happening over the last couple of years. I've been meeting with Pete during the last couple of years, and we talk about 3 guys that I'm praying for, as well as 3 that he's praying for. And has that gone really well? Have we seen miraculous things happening in their life? Well, for one of those persons, they've separated from their wife. The other person's left the country, and the other one has flat out told me that Christianity is a fairy tale. So probably no. So from my perspective, has probably not been going well. But does that stop me praying? No, it doesn't. And it makes me pray even more fervently for these three guys that are a part of my life. And so, yeah, it's been interesting to reflect on that. Also, this notion of being sent and being open to having conversations, whether they're small, whether they're seemingly inconsequential, and Jean shared a little bit of that last week as well, you know, just these little moments. And it's much more about a shifting in my awareness of being open to taking those opportunities or speaking into those opportunities when they come. So that's been really good, and a real question about whether I am actually willing to do that. The second year was around a program called Shift M2M, where we were looking at the approaches of leading the change in an organisation that's going through EVS. So interestingly, there was 12 of us involved in that, and if you anything about numbers in the Bible, that's a pretty significant number. But and interestingly too, this program used the life of Jesus as the model for leadership and for change. And I have to say, it is surprising when you look at it how deliberate Jesus was in his approach to evangelizing and discipling during his short time of ministry. Now, GT is going to come in a couple of weeks and he's going to share a bit more about that part of the program and about what that might mean for us as we go into this year. So we can look forward to that. I've been on holidays and since before Christmas, and being a bit of a Bible nerd, I've been working my way through the book of Matthew. And I have to say, it's been interesting and amazing to actually re-look at a gospel and to go through a gospel again. Probably a gospel I've read a few times, but it's really good to reflect and to think and to look at it in a new light. Jesus is truly an amazing human being. And it's not until you stop and actually have a think about it and look at him that he is an amazing human being and also very compelling. And I think that does tie somewhat into some of what Marianne was saying. Also, one of my favourite movies of all time is Back to the Future. It's a classic, don't you think? A trilogy. And I do often wonder what it would be like to go back in time. And I wonder if I went back to the time of Jesus and hung out with him for a few weeks, what would it be like? Like, would he know that I was there? Would he know me and that I'm a time traveller? And would I get the chance to ask him some questions, you know, some of these questions that we wrestle with today? And also, if I was there, what would I be hearing him talk about most of the time? And I think this is a question worth considering, actually, because it tells us a lot about who we think Jesus is and what we think his mission was about. So what would we hear him talking about? Some of you might be thinking that you would hear him mostly talking about morals and ethics, what to do, what not to do. Some of you might be thinking you would hear him talking about getting out of this place and getting into heaven and how to do that, so escaping this planet. Some of you might be thinking that we'd hear him talking about the end of the world and about judgment and about hell. And I think you would hear him say some of those things, but what would be the most prominent thing that Jesus would be talking about? So if you were with him, what would you hear him speaking about most of the time? So if you have your Bibles there, if you want to just turn with me real quickly to Matthew chapter 4. So where we've got to in our story within Matthew is that in chapter 3, John the Baptist has been preparing the way. So he's been coming and starting to share, as it had been prophesied in the Old Testament, that the Messiah, the King, was coming. The one promised in the Old Testament was coming. And then we had the story of the baptism of Jesus. So Jesus comes, he goes down under the water, comes out, voice from heaven, dove, that whole program, that whole thing was happening. Then immediately after that, Jesus then goes into the wilderness and he spends 40 days and 40 nights being tested by the evil one, by the devil or the Satan. And there's lots of links happening back there into what happened to Genesis and in the Old Testament that we don't have time to go through today. But it's really very interesting. So Jesus goes and undertakes this test, which he passes with flying colours. And then in verse 12 then, it's headed, Jesus begins to preach. So from verse 12 to verse 17, he begins to preach. And then in verse 17, so chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach. What does it say he preached about? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. So Jesus here is preaching about the kingdom and to challenge his people to repent or to turn around. Right? And then it continues on and into verse 23. In verse 18 to 22, it talks about how he selects a couple of followers, disciples or learners, right, to join his group. So there's Peter and Andrew, so to join his group. And then from verse 23, it says Jesus went throughout Galilee. So he's now moved down to where the Sea of Galilee is, into that area, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among his people. And news of that spread rapidly. Obviously, you've got this guy running around preaching and healing people. And then we move into chapter 5. So chapter 5 is this Sermon on the Mount. Now, I'm sure most of you know about the Sermon on the Mount. And it says there, or the Beatitudes, we call them. So Beatitudes is just a Latin word that means blessings, right? So we have these Sermons on the Mount, which are all of these blessings. Now, these verses are really, really well known, even outside of Christianity. And they're turned into, you know, calendar things and also fridge magnets and that kind of stuff. And most of the time, they're taken out of context. And it's not until you actually start to think about them in context that we start to get some of how profound and meaningful these verses are. When we address and tackle these blessings, I think there's two questions that we need to keep asking ourselves. And we keep needing to reflect on these questions as we're looking at these verses and chapters in the early parts of Matthew. And that was, who is Jesus talking to and what was the occasion? So who was Jesus talking to when he's sharing these blessings and what was the occasion? What was the situation in which he was doing this? So if we look at who Jesus was talking to, when he says, now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the hill on the mountainside and sat down, his disciples came to him. So who are the disciples? So does it mean the 12? Because we've only got two so far, because there's only Peter and Andrew at this point in time. The 12 don't come into play until about chapter 9 or chapter 10. So who's he talking to here? He's talking to the crowd, and the disciples are the people within the crowd. And who are those people who we learnt about earlier? They're people who are sick, they're poor, they're people who are in need, and they're hurting, and they're broken people. And what's the situation? They're people who are living under Roman occupation. They're people who have been promised this land, and they're now been come back from exile, and they're living in the land that they've been promised, but they're under rule and they're under authority. And they've got this totalitarian regime that's actually controlling everything that they're about. And here's Jesus here teaching these people about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven and how they should be turning around, repenting and joining his kingdom. And this is where he's sharing these people with his blessings. He's sharing the blessings on the people who are poor in spirit, the people who mourn, the people who are meek. What does that mean? It means those who are quiet, gentle, and easily imposed on. So again, you keep coming back to this. Who's Jesus talking to and what is the occasion? And those who are hungering for things to be put right again and the persecuted. And so what will they be blessed with? They will be blessed with the kingdom of heaven. Theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. And so this goes on for the next three chapters. So if you've got a red letter Bible, you'll see the next three chapters is Jesus doing this teaching. And he's teaching about his kingdom. And he's teaching about those who are welcome and who are a part of his kingdom, and teaching those people who he's inviting to come into his kingdom. Interestingly, it wasn't the powerful, and it wasn't the church leadership, and it wasn't the people who had it all together that he was sharing this with. It was the hurting, the sick, the people on the fringes of life, and these are the ones who Jesus first invites into the kingdom. So what does any of this mean, and how does it relate to us? So during the holidays, I started holidays just before Christmas, I ended up going to Hands and Feet. And it was the one session, there was 52 boxes. Yeah, 52 boxes I think we did. And it was great. It was amazing. It was hard work at carrying boxes around and filling them up. So, yeah, it was really, really great. For me, it was also interesting and a challenging experience, because I soon realised that I felt like a fish out of water. And I have to say that I have very little affinity or understanding about this part of our society, those people who are in need and who are right on our doorstep, and there's lots of them. The question I've been reflecting on is, why do I feel like this? We caught up with Pete and Linda, and Linda asked me this question. You know, so why is it that you feel like that? And of course I responded in a very Christian way and saying, oh, because of the environment I've brought up in, blah, 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 all this kind of nonsense. And Linda rightly said to me, no, Muzz, hang on, why do you feel like that? Why do you really feel like that? And it's a really good question, and it's a right question. And I think for too long I've been operating in the bounds of this churchianity that we've become accustomed to. Programs and teaching, checking to be say the right things and do the right things, keeping within the bounds of our long-standing structures, mixing with the right people and going about church business as we do. As opposed to Jesus, who we say we worship and what we focus on, and what was he focusing on? He was focusing on people on the edge, the hurting, the marginalised, and inviting them into the kingdom of God, which is here now. So when Jesus was saying the kingdom is near, he was saying the kingdom is here, now, through me, in me. Now I believe that God is really going to challenge us this year as a church, and Hands and Feet is just the beginning. And that is why the training around EVS is critical to the future of our church. And I believe God is going to strip us back to basics and re-energise us into loving Jesus and loving his neighbours. Now, I think Jesus is remarkable and would have been awesome to hang out with for a few weeks. But I don't know that he would have been stroking me around the good that I think I am and the good things that I think that I'm doing. I truly believe he might have seen in me a lot of pride and even some disdain for the crowd of people who Matthew was calling Jesus' disciples or learners. And I often wonder too whether Jesus would have seen me siding more with the Pharisees, like a Nicodemus, rather than siding with those who he was sharing with blessing. And my question for you today is, what about you? Which side of the line do you think you would be sitting on if you sat down and chatted with Jesus? Have you become too comfortable with this churchianity that we do, rather than being called to Christianity? So in this church, we have a really unique time to be able to reflect on this and to remember, to confess and to partake. And Jesus died and rose again so that we might be able to be active members of his kingdom. And that is why he left us with these symbols of what it cost him to be the king of this upside down kingdom. A kingdom that is completely opposite to what the world is and the world that we live in. So let's take time to reflect, pray, sing, and share with each other about some of where we're at.